Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Boy, it's exciting. Football season, combine, free agency, and the Tom Brady watch. Now, Floyd, you are convinced the Tennessee Titans are not interested in Tom Brady, correct?
I don't think the Titans think Tom Brady's going to be available. I think they think he's going to go back to New England.
Even though the Jeff Darlingtons of the world and the Adam Schefters and everybody else are saying, you know, it looks like Brady might be a free agent. I agree with you. I think Brady's going back to New England.
Well,
but
I mean, he may be a free agent. I mean, he may be a free agent for weeks, but I think he ends up back in New England.
And that's a risk the Tennessee Titans can't take with Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, that's a risk nobody can take. But
so I put
if he can get enough to go back to Bill and say, hey, they're offering me $35 million, then, you know, he kind of puts it in Bill's court.
So I put out a poll that said, do you think the Titans are interested in Tom Brady? 50% say yes. 50% say no, comma, Floyd is right. I lean more towards no. I don't think they are, but yesterday did nothing to dissuade the conversation or squash the conversation that they could potentially, for whatever reason, that they could be interested in Brady. And with that, Floyd, I want to know how extensive a makeover of the Tennessee Titans offense and scheming and everything else would have to be to accommodate Tom Brady if he were to come to the Tennessee Titans. Stephen A. Smith on First Take yesterday said that the Titans do have pieces that would make sense for Brady.
Brady is short term. Brady has a relationship with his former teammate Mike Vrabel, who's the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. A.J. Brown is a stud receiver. Brady hasn't had that in a while. Corey Davis is not bad as well. And so when you look at it from that perspective, along with Derrick Henry and the fact that you're going to be running the football, remember Derrick Henry ran the football 303 times last year, rushed for 1,540 yards, averaged over 5 yards a carry. You got to give respect where it's due in that regard. But that's stuff that's going to take the pressure off of them. Meanwhile, the defense can get some things done, and that could take a lot of pressure off of it as well. If I'm Brady, what I do is I use that as pressure points to make sure that the New England Patriots are going to get some players around him, as opposed to throwing everything on his shoulders and then throwing him to the Wolves with a bunch of no-names that still have to learn how to play the game of football.
Floyd, if the Titans were to get Tom Brady, how extensive would a Titan makeover have to be in order to fit Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, if you're bringing Tom Brady in, you're bringing in Tom Brady, the Tom Brady that wins Super Bowls, which means, at least in my opinion, you're bringing in the system, what Tom Brady does. And you're not going to find anybody in New England that's going to come in here and teach you the system. So your link to the system is Tom Brady.
You almost have to hire Charlie White to be offensive coordinator, or somebody who certainly, I mean, has no more business coaching football or anything like that, but you have to bring him in simply because of that.
Well, Tom's going to come in and he's going to try.
A guy like George Godsey? Could you bring George Godsey in to be a quarterback's coach or something like that?
No, I don't think so. You would, I mean, if you're going to run his system, I mean, you got to bring it in. You're going to have to teach it to Arthur. You're going to have to teach it to Vrabel. You're going to have to go through the whole thing. Or you don't change a thing, and you bring him in and then see if it works out. And maybe it does, and maybe it doesn't. You know, there are a multitude of things that the decisions would have to be made as to, you know, how you would do it, when you would do it, where you would do it. I mean, the offensive line and their run blocking and all that is kaput. You know, I mean, now you better be able to protect the passer. And run blocking comes second, you know, which means the run game changes a little bit, which means, I mean, there'll be things that'll change.
Okay, let's say you want Tom Brady's system. You put Tom Brady in charge, essentially, of teaching Arthur Smith the system. And Tom Brady and Arthur Smith are working together to co-coordinate that offense. What changes personnel-wise have to get made?
Well, How good do you feel about pass protection with your offensive line?
Terrible.
Okay. Your whole offensive line changes. Where else you want to go?
Let's go to Derrick Henry. How does he fit into that?
Well,
what about Davis? What about Brown? What about Jonnu Smith? What about Ferguson, Humphreys? I mean, how do those guys
all those
fit
receivers,
what Brady wants to do?
If those receivers will do exactly what Tom wants done, then they'll probably be okay. I mean, none of them are going to be, you know, what he's had, some of what he's had in the past. But, I mean, they're like Brown and his, you know, slants and all that stuff. I mean, you're not going to get near as many of those. You know, you're going to want comebacks and you're going to want outs and you're going to want curls and you're going to want hook and goes and things like that. So, you know, that'll change a little bit for everybody. I mean, it just depends on how extensive they go because it's, I mean, there's really not a lot. You see our offense, you see their offense. I mean, Brady goes out. How often do you see a game where Brady throws 45 times?
I told you. I think there are four players on the offense right now. Four players on the offense right now that fit what Brady wants to do. Jonnu Smith, Adam Humphreys, Anthony Firkser, and Deion Lewis. And they're going to cut Deion Lewis. And I can't stand Deion Lewis. But Deion is the four. I know Deion can fit what Tom wants to do. Only because I've seen Deion do it before. Firkser can fit what Tom wants to do because he's smart and he gets open and he catches it. Humphreys can fit what Tom wants to do. Jonnu can fit what Tom wants to do. I don't know if A.J. Brown can fit what Tom wants to do. Can A.J. Brown get open? Man for man, can A.J. Brown get open? Can he get open on anything but a slant, a little short pass and then run with it? Can he go down the field?
Well, I don't see him as a deep threat. But, I mean, if he can do the other things, he'd be okay. But, I mean, if you press him,
Can he get open?
I don't know if he can get off the press.
Okay, so then Angle worked for Tom. So, what about Davis? Could Davis work for Tom?
I mean, it's the same thing.
I mean, Davis doesn't show up half the games anyways, so I don't see why all of a sudden the greatest quarterback of all time, who demands, if nothing else, consistency, would have any interest in Corey Davis. So I don't know if the personnel matches up with what Brady wants to do if you try to run Brady's system. So then that takes me to your second option, which is try to put Brady in the Tannehill system. Could Brady run Tannehill's system and run it effectively?
Well, yeah, I mean, he could run the system, but I mean, you're not going to get any more out of him than you would get out of Tannehill, probably.
I can't believe that, though. Like, if you're down by 11 points in the AFC title game against Kansas City, does Tom Brady help you in that regard? Like, you're down 11 in the fourth quarter with the ball. Brady is a much better throwing threat than you would assume Tannehill is, right?
Well, yeah, if you can protect him.
Which they couldn't protect Tannehill in that AFC title game.
I mean, Tom is not going to go running around. Tom is not going to scramble. Tom is not going to end up pulling up a first down for you in the middle of that two-minute, you know, period. And so, you know, you're saying, well, okay, then we gotta protect him. Well, now you say, okay, the offensive line needs help. Well, we need to keep a tight end and chip in, or we need to keep back in, or we need to keep them both in and help. Well, now you're running your two-minute with three-man patterns. I mean, that does not work. So, I mean, there, and I'm looking at the hard part because to me, the number of changes that you have to make or adjustments you have to make has been really, really undervalued. And the reason I say that is because there's no need bringing Tom in here if you're not going to let Tom be Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen Jonnu Unitas go from, you know, world champion to wherever it was, San Diego or the Rams or wherever, and you never hear from him again. We've seen Joe Namath go from Super Bowl winner to, you know, L.A., wherever it was, you never hear from him again. I mean, we've seen all those things. And so I think part of that is they bring him in and they say, well, we've seen him throw the ball. Yep, it's really, really good. Well, what about the rest of it? You know, because it's not just a matter of bringing a guy in to sling the ball. You know, although Tom's good at that. But, I mean, you've got to adapt to all the other things, too, including the play calling. Or you just give it to Tom. You know, you say, Tom, go out there, call your own plays, and we're right here if you need us.
Can you really do that, though? Like, can you really trust Tom Brady to never, who's never called a game in his life, to go out there at quarterback and call the whole game from the start? To where Tom's got a first, if Tom's calling the plays on the field, Tom calls a first down play, then has to execute the first down play. Then as the first down play is getting, as he's already put in the first down play and is approaching the line and looking at the first down play, has to also be thinking about what the second down play is going to be, right?
Absolutely.
How the hell do you do that?
What happens on task? What do you think play callers do?
I'm talking about how do you do it while you're playing quarterback?
Well, you do it the same way the guy on the sideline does it.
I know, but the guy on the sideline doesn't have to, like, once that shuts down at 15, the guy on the sideline becomes useless. Once the play clock gets to 15. Tom's sitting there under center's already called a play. Now, 53, 53, beta, 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 check, check. Tom to the line, but he's also thinking about the second down play at the same time he's doing all of that at the line?
He probably is in the back of his mind, but
sounds like a very difficult multitask to try to perform right there.
Why do you think no quarterback scholar plays?
Because it's too hard.
There you go.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So you can't have Tom Brady call the plays.
Got that figured out.
Arthur has to call the plays. I do wonder, is it really that difficult, though? Like, Tannehill never played in this system before, and he came right in and played great.
Well, this is a system for Tannehill. This would be like Brady playing in our system going to New England. You know, would he fit in? That system's perfect for him. You know, that's exactly what he wants to do. That's exactly what he's good at. And my only point is, no, you could not change a thing. You could just say, hey, Tom, come on in. You're going to be doing, you know, this and that and the other. But are you getting what you want out of Tom? You know, are you going to win a Super Bowl doing that? I don't know.
Let's ask the caller, 615-737-1025. After hearing Floyd talk about how extensively difficult it would be for the Titans to add Tom Brady in as their starting quarterback, does that change your opinion on the thought of the Brady talk? 615-737-1025. Also, do we think there's any possibility that the Titans could want Brady so badly that they're actually willing to lose out on Tannehill? We'll discuss next. Jared and the GM, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. ESPN 102.5 The Game is kicking off the inaugural MLS season of the Nashville SC this Friday at 10 Roof on DeMumbry. And that's right, we're going to start the party early at 10 a.m. and go on till 6. Stop by to catch live shows, Jared and the GM, of course, Darren, Donick, and Chase as well. Every single hour, we'll be giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to Saturday's match. Happy hour starts at 2 o'clock with great food and drink specials at 10 Roof on DeMumbrian. And by the way, I may be sticking around afterwards. So maybe we'll have a little special get-together afterwards to celebrate Nashville SC. It's our Nashville SC inaugural MLS season kickoff party this Friday at 10 Roof DeMumbrian with live shows from 10 to 6. Tickets to Saturday's game and great food and drink specials. We are in. Be in with us. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Well, here's where we're going to get a gauge of whether the Tennessee Titans could potentially be players for Tom Brady. Because if they put the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill and they can begin to do that starting Thursday, that would essentially take them out of any talks and discussions for Tom Brady. If they don't use the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill, then that would leave them in play for Tom Brady, potentially, if that was a route they decided to go. But you can't tag Tannehill and go after Brady. You can't do that. So we could get a glimpse of what the Titans' thinking is starting on Thursday.
That was Adam Schefter talking about the Titans. Tomorrow, the franchise and transition tag windows open. If the Titans, Floyd, wanted to go after Tom Brady, would there be any way for them to make sure that, or maybe not make sure, but would there be any way for them to go after Tom Brady without losing Ryan Tannehill in the process?
Well,
because you heard Schefter say right there, you can't tag Tannehill
if nobody,
and go after Brady.
If nobody wants Tannehill, then he'd just be sitting out there. But I'm not sure you're willing to run that risk. But maybe you are.
Is it possible that the Titans could love Brady so badly or want Brady so badly that they're willing to lose Tannehill? And that even if Tom takes an offer from the Titans, turns around and re-signs in New England, that the Titans would be okay with saying, hey, we tried. We thought Tom was the key to the Super Bowl. We knew we weren't going to win one with Ryan Tannehill. So we thought Tom was the key to the Super Bowl. Didn't get him, so let's sign Jameis Winston and move on.
Yeah, if you're trying to get fired, that would be a sure way to do it.
So you don't think there's any possibility the Titans, even if they wanted to go after Brady, logically could go after Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, not without running a giant risk. I mean, it would be truly, truly risky because you're getting rid of the bird in the hand and praying you've got a couple in the bush. But you don't know that. And the part that's, if you say, well, okay, Tom, we will give you $35 million. We'll do it. Is that good with you? I mean, he's going to go back and call Bill. Hey, I can get it here. It's for real.
Although I'll say this, Bill's not going to give him $35 million.
I don't know, but that's a risk you run. And Bill says, you know what? We'll give you the 35 too. Come on home. Okay, be on my plane. Now you're with.
That's the risk you run. I mean, there's no way that they could go after Brady if they don't risk losing Tannehill. But my question is, could Robinson and Vrabel like Brady so much that they'd be willing to run that risk?
Yeah, like I said, if you want to get fired.
I don't think there is.
Well, you're going to get fired if it doesn't work out.
I don't think there's any shot. Like, the Chargers can do this because the draft is after free agency. So I think the Chargers are completely sold out to going after Tom Brady, and that's what they're going to do. And then if they don't get Tom Brady, then they'll draft, Justin Herbert at 5, and they'll go out there with Herbert as their starting quarterback next year, and they'll try to make it work. They can run that risk. I don't think the Titans can afford to do that. This reminds me of how dumb the Texans looked, and they ended up with Deshaun Watson out of it, but it cost them 2 first-round picks. But this reminds me of how dumb the Texans looked when they traded Brock Osweiler to Cleveland at the start of free agency, because everybody knew Dallas had to release Tony Romo, and they thought Tony was coming, and they were going to sign Tony. And Tony had even said goodbye to the Dallas fans. Tony had not signed up with CBS. Tony was going to go be the starting quarterback of the Texans. And I remember when they made that move with Osweiler, and you said, Tony's coming. Because you don't make that move if Tony's not coming. But then Jerry wouldn't release Tony. And Jerry lost a lot of defensive players because he didn't want Tony to go to the Texans. So Tony ends up going to CBS. Well, now the Texans don't have a quarterback and have to use their next year's first-round pick to move up and draft Deshaun Watson. And let me ask everybody here, do you want to use this year's pick and next year's first-rounder to go up and get Jacob Eason or Jordan Love? No. 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 Although I don't really know anything about Jordan Love, so maybe he's awesome.
It doesn't make any difference.
But you were in the AFC title game last year. To your phone, Scott, 615-737-1025. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I think bringing in Brady and kind of catering the entire offense to him, making all these changes, would be extremely counterproductive to what this regime has been preaching since they took over, and that's consistency. And I also feel like we're right in our championship window now, and signing Brady almost feels like willingly shortening that window to a year or two with basically just a hope and a prayer. Thanks, Ash. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for your call. Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, this is the concern you have, which is you're trading, bird in the hand versus for a couple in the bush, and it's risky, and it's scary, and it's not something that it's not like it's something that you have to do. I mean, all of this can be mute, really tomorrow if you wanted it that way. I don't think that'll happen. But, if they put the tag on tomorrow, he'd say, okay, that's the end of that. Let's move on. And it would be over. But they can keep the quarterback if they want to keep. They can really keep anybody that they want to keep because they're going to have enough money.
If they want to give Logan $20 million,
yeah, they're
going
to have enough money to do that. It's just a matter of if you want to do it. I'm confident that they can keep him if, in fact, that's what they want to do.
Texter to the text line, couldn't they tag Tannehill and then trade him somewhere else if they sign Brady? Surely somebody would take Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, you can't trade him unless he signs a deal. If he signs a deal, then you can trade him.
Well, but if he doesn't sign the deal, then you can rescind the tag.
If he doesn't sign the deal, you can rescind the tag, and then he ends up going where you want, but it's not a trade.
Right, but so I'm saying your protection in this is you tag Tannehill, you then sign Tom Brady. If Tannehill has signed his tag,
the tag is over before. I mean, the final day of the tag is like 3 or 4 days before the beginning of the league year.
The final day you can offer the tag,
yes.
Not the final day that he can sign the tag.
Right, he can sign it anytime he wants.
Right, so you can slap the tag on him tomorrow, and then. Sign Tom, and if he doesn't sign the tender, or even if he does sign the tender, then sign Tom Brady at the start of free agency. Then if he signs it, turn around and deal him to Tampa Bay. If he doesn't sign it, as soon as you sign Tom Brady, you rescind the tag.
If he signs the tag, you're guaranteeing him that money.
Right, but you're not guaranteeing it from the Titans because you could trade him to another team.
Well, that could be, but I mean, who are you? Would you do that? Would you trade for that?
Would I trade for Ryan Tannehill on a 1-year deal on a franchise tag?
Yeah,
probably.
Because
Jameis Winston sucks.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you get a chance to get, you know, Rivers or Bridgewater or somebody that you can sign to a contract that's, you know, a 3-4 year contract.
I'm signing Philip Rivers to a 4-year contract. I don't think Philip Rivers is signing a 4-year contract.
Well, no, but I mean, you could sign all these young guys to one.
And which young guy do I like? Which young guy is as good as Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what you like. I mean, I'm going to guess, again, if I'm Tampa Bay, I've seen Ryan Tannehill in a throw the ball 45 times a game offense. And he got traded. So I don't know that being that I have no running game and my quarterback just threw the ball 45 times a game, every game, I'm not sure Tannehill would be my cup of tea if that's what I was looking for.
I think there will be takers for Tannehill. I mean, I know you can old pawpaw me and act like nobody likes Tannehill out there, but after the season he had.
I'll say this. I don't know. I'm not saying nobody likes Tannehill. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that for you to bring him in on a 1-year contract, depending on who you have at quarterback or who you can get at quarterback, may not be what you want to do because you're going to have to turn right around next year and sign him or refranchise him or whatever you're going to have to do to keep him. Otherwise, you lose, you know, whatever it is you just traded.
Do you think Tannehill will sign the tender if you slap it on him, though? Or do you think he'll be difficult about it because he wants a long-term deal?
Oh, I wouldn't sign it.
Okay, so then you'd slap the tag on him just in case. Brady, you know, you get Brady, rescind the tag. Brady's your starting quarterback.
Well, yeah, but if he does, we went through this yesterday.
As soon as he finds out Brady signs the tag, he's going to screw
now
you.
Now
you
got
yeah.
$50 million worth of quarterbacks again. And you got to trade him. You think what do you think his value would be then?
Oh, at that point you're just getting rid of him.
Yeah.
I mean, that point you'd give a seventh, like a conditional seventh. If you get to the Super Bowl, then we get a seventh. That kind of conditions. Back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. We're right back to him here on Jared of the GM Plus. A bunch of players are really against this new CBA. I almost feel like it may be, well, a little greedy on their part, but we'll discuss. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live featuring special Preds player guests Corbinian Holzer and Jared Tenorti. They'll be live in East Nashville at Boomboss Craft Pizza and Tap House at 1003 Russell Street. The show starts at 7. Tonight's Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So there are a lot of rumors that a certain 42-year-old quarterback might be interested, or there might be. What do you make of those rumors that are out there?
Yeah, I mean, players that are under contract that aren't on our team, like, I can't comment on those guys. I won't comment on those guys. But, you know, we're just working through the process here at the Combine. And, you know, whenever that time opens up where we can, you know, negotiate with other players, regardless of what position they are, whenever that window opens up, we'll attack that just like 31 other teams attack it.
John Robinson certainly had a lot to say when it came to Tom Brady yesterday. Floyd, to the phones, or do you have a thought?
Phones are fine.
Phones we go. Mark is up next. Mark, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listen every day. And,
thank you.
Jared, every time I want to call in, you answer my questions on your preparation. So kudos to you. But Floyd, I'm going to put you in the responsibility of all this situation. If you were to bring Tom Brady in, would you move up and draft a quarterback if Tom Brady signed for 2 years? Would you move and draft a quarterback to train underneath him for 2 years and keep Conklin, keep Henry, and move in that direction? That would be my question.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I would love to keep Conklin, and I would love to keep, you know, that whole group. I don't know if Brady came. I mean, he would obviously cost you more than Tannehill. I don't know how much more than Tannehill. And so, you know, that would have a dramatic effect on who you could keep and who you couldn't keep. I think that... you know, the to get him here and get him set up and get him in a position where he could play the way you're going to want to play, I think is going to take some adjustments. And that's a little bit of a concern for me. I mean, really, it's quite a bit of a concern, but it's a concern. And if you try to force him into anything else, then you just don't know what you're going to get. And I think that's the fear for me.
Let's go to Brandon, who's up next. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, I was just brainstorming while you guys were talking, and I wanted to ask the GM how he felt about the opportunity or possibility of keeping Tannehill, forget Brady, go get somebody like somebody you mentioned, like Rivers or Bridgewater or somebody, and use competition to try to make the best out of the situation and get the best results.
Yeah, I don't. I think if you sign Tannehill, it's going to be so expensive that, I mean, you're telling him he's the guy, and you're going to have, of course, other quarterbacks, but you're not going to bring a guy in to compete as much as you're going to bring a guy in to be a true backup. And I think because of Ryan's age, that I would prefer to bring in some young guy. The problem with Tom is if you have to do all the adjustments to get Tom, that's going to change your draft and the things you do. So then even though you end up with Tom Brady at quarterback instead of Ryan Tannehill next year, you know, you're not going to have your pass rusher. You're not going to have a corner. There are going to be other positions that you're going to miss out on. And I think the question becomes, are you making yourself – that much better, you know, to next year? Is Tom going to be the difference between you beating Kansas City and making it to the Super Bowl or not? Because it's going to be more expensive. It's going to be more short term. It's going to be, I mean, the potential for disaster in my mind is fairly, you know, obvious, and it's a little bit scary. And I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan in the world. I mean, I love Tom Brady. I love everything about him. You know, I just wish he was 32 like Tannehill instead of 42.
Texter says, how would Brady react with the Titans' offensive line? Feels like he would be all over them 24-7. Can you imagine the quote-unquote conversations Tom Brady would have on the sidelines with the offensive linemen, most notably Taylor Lewan?
Boo. Yeah, it's...
And if A.J. Brown can't get off the press, Tom's not going to like that now.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be issues. Tom has a, I know when you look at him on the sideline, sometimes you think, you know, he's wacko and he's out of control and he's this, that, and the other, but he's really not. I mean, he is, you know, in control. Now, does he get loud and does he yell? Yeah, he does, but he's not yelling, you know, well, you dummy or you this or you that. He's yelling, hey, we got to get going. We got to, you know, pass protect better than that. We got to run block better than that, whatever the case may be. And it's very seldom, you know, at you individual, you dummy, you. It does happen, but not usually.
So I want to get to this. The Players Association is going to take the new CBA, and that is going to go to a vote to the players. And what was it, like 2,000 players are going to vote on the CBA to decide whether or not they ratify the new CBA one way or another. I mean, there's a lot of layers and a lot of reporting, and I don't know. But a bunch of star players are coming out against the CBA. Russell Wilson. The NBA and the MLB are doing it right. Players come first. All NFL players deserve the same. We should not rush the next 10 years for today's satisfaction. I vote no. Aaron Rodgers on Twitter has a big, big message about why he voted no. And it wasn't as, didn't, you know, whatever. He said, I voted no last night. My decision to vote no is based off of the conversations that I had with the men in the locker room that I'm tasked to represent. This deal will affect every player that even plays the game, that ever plays the game, and we have made this decision with only an abbreviated version of the deal, and that isn't good enough. Although I do see that there are many things in the proposal that improve the lives and care for past, present, and future NFL players, there are issues with others. 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear that the 17th game is about paying for the added benefits and had nothing to do with the positive feedback received about any extra risks involved with added regular season games. There are so many issues raised about the workplace, the workload, and the off-season program. Some have been addressed while others have not. With an extra game added to the schedule, added risk, and longer stretches before and after the bye week, we felt it was important to address adding more off-season recovery time. The ideas discussed would not add cost for teams. In fact, in anything, it would lessen those for some. My involvement has been far less than the negotiating team, the EC, and the owners in these conversations, and I am sensitive to that, and appreciative of the time and sacrifices made. So Aaron Rodgers votes no. Russell Wilson votes no. Now, I saw something on the bottom of the screen that said that I think the owners have taken away the $250,000 cap that players would get for playing the extra 17th game. It just feels to me like all the rich players that have all the money don't want this new CBA because they just don't want to play a 17th game.
Well, that's part of it. And if they adjusted the $250,000 limit, then, you know, that may make some of them okay with it. I'm sure that was the bottom line is that, you know, for years they've tried to get to the average player. I think the owners were really, really smart in what they did with this CBA because it is aimed at the average player. It's aimed at the retired player. It's aimed at some of the issues they've had with medical plans and things like that. So that, you know, of the 2,000, there's 100 that are really, really elite financially and athletically. And then there's a whole group of, you know, 1,500 or whatever they are that are just, you know, guys that are playing and working and you know, trying to make it on a yearly basis. Well, those guys are all getting giant raises, and they're all being better protected, and they're all... So it'll be interesting to see how they do this, you know, because what they'll do is they'll go back. Each team's union rep will get the deal. They will meet someplace. They will all sit around, read this thing, look at it, and then they'll take a vote, and that vote goes back in. Now, the union rep will give his...
That sounds like that's going to take a lot of time, though, to get all that, to get everybody in the same place at one time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a couple of weeks, they said. You know, they wouldn't be surprised if it took a couple of weeks. So they'll get all of that put together and get it to the union. The union rep, generally speaking, has been a guy, depending on how he sees it, as the guy that probably carries the most weight because, you know, if it gets to, all right, I don't care if I make more money. I don't care if my medical is better. I don't care if my kids are covered better. I want something else. Then, you know, they're probably not going to vote on it. If all that other stuff is okay, and the union rep says, yeah, you guys are going to make more money than I could see how it would pass.
Adam Schefter tweeted out, with approval of the proposed collective bargaining agreement, the NFL is now believed to have the highest net revenues paid to its players per sources. Other leagues, by the way, I'm sure he's getting this from the owners. Per sources. Other leagues pay higher gross revenues to their players. The NBA and the NHL have expenses deducted from their total revenues, bringing the total money distributed to players to about 46.5% of gross revenues. The money distributed by MLB is not clear because the league doesn't publicize its numbers. MLB's shared net revenues are thought to be about 45% now, but MLB also includes numbers from its minor league players that push its shared net revenue to more than 50%. But minor league salaries are not apple-to-apple comparisons to major league salaries. Looking at a 25-man major league roster, it brings MLB closer to shared net revenue of 48.5%, though that number can't be fully verified. I mean, it sounds like Schefter got that directly from some owner that told Schefter, I mean, hey, we're paying them the most. I'll just say this. Football players will always make less than baseball and basketball players because there's more of them. But in the future, they'll make more because football will make more money than anything else. I mean, the truth is that if they do the 17th game and the revenues double, I mean, and football goes from $5 billion a year to $10 billion a year, all the players' money doubles. Like, I think the players have a hard time.
You got 48.5% of $10 billion instead of $5 billion. Yeah, you're in pretty good shape.
I mean, the money doubles. So the quarterbacks that make $30 million a year will make $60 million a year. By that token, down the road. Like, that is so much money. Crazy. And I think the players have a hard time understanding that. They just look at the percentage points. Or Russell Wilson, hey, baseball and basketball are doing it right. Name me one thing baseball and basketball are doing right in America compared to football, other than the players get fully guaranteed contracts, which benefits the players. But there's nothing baseball's doing that's beating football in any way. They're not doing better in attendance. They're not doing better in television revenue. They're not doing better in league parity. They're not doing better in their draft. They're not doing bad. I mean, they're not doing better in anything. I mean, even the XFL, the minor league of football, is doing better TV-wise than minor league baseball is doing. So that to me, it bothers me on a certain extent. But at the same time, I don't know the particulars of the deal. And I was joking with you. I said the football needs to go send John Cooper in there to negotiate that deal. And they'll get probably even a better deal than they thought they were getting. So who knows? Maybe there should be a lot of negotiation. Maybe the players should hold out for a little bit more. I don't believe the idea that if the players don't agree to this, then the owners will say, all right, well, we'll see you next spring and lock them out after that. Like, I don't see that happening.
Well, I mean, nobody would benefit from that. You know, it's not, and it would hurt their negotiations with the TVs and the, you know, which I'm sure they're all covered for. But still, you know, if they could get started early and get better deals and get those things rolling and have them in place, everybody would be happier.
Coming up next. Preds Insiders is coming on tonight, right? Even though Ryan's out. Okay, Preds Insiders and Smashville Live. So coming up next for us, I want to take a look at John Hines. And one thing that I worry about, even though it doesn't keep them from winning, we'll discuss. Jared and the GM at DSP and 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Stylistically, have you made any serious or specific changes to the way the power play operates since you've been here?
We've probably done more personnel changes. I think the structure of it, they were in a 1-3-1. We're still doing a 1-3-1. We've changed, I think, different guys and maybe delivered the minutes around to different players in certain ways. I'd say the biggest thing is really trying to play quicker on the power play, more of a shot mentality. You know, even like you see the way that we scored tonight, you know, particularly Arvidsson's goal, that's what you have to have is quick puck movement, deliver it to the net. You have your net front and that middle player in there expecting opportunities for rebounds. And I think the big thing is on the power play, you're always going to have opportunities to get quality shots, but it's a lot of times it's shooting for the second or third opportunity that makes it most difficult to defend on the penalty kill. And something we've worked on, still needs some improvement, but it looks like it's nice to see him get rewarded to do the right thing.
John Hines asked about what you change in the power play. Well, we didn't change a lot stylistically, but we did change kind of the personnel For example, last night on the power play, Kyle Turris, 3 minutes and 55 seconds of ice time. Matt Duchene, 1 minute and 36 seconds of ice time on the power play. On the power play, Philip Forsberg, 328. That's not bad. Craig Smith, 333. But Victor Arvidsson, 152. Now, Victor Arvidsson did score a goal on the power play. But again, I mean, your top power players are guys you expect to be top power players. Duchene, 136. Arvidsson, 152. Johansson, 131.
Oh.
So I've got Craig Smith up there for 333, and I've got Johansson for 131. Time on ice, just total time on ice for the Predators. Ryan Johansson, 14:57. Meanwhile, Mikael Granlund, he led all forwards out there with 19 minutes of ice time, 19:15. So you've got 14:57 for Johansson, 19:15 for Granlund. How about somebody like Kyle Turris, 15:24. Colton Sissons, 15:03. Nick Bonino, 15:14. Every center played more than Ryan Johansson yesterday. Victor Arvidsson, 14:51. Everybody else, for the most part, played more. Except for Rocco Grimaldi. My question for you, Floyd Reese, is this. How long can John Hines do that for? At some point, does it not push come to shove where John Hines has got to give those guys the ice time, and then those guys, in turn, have to do their job and put the black puck in the white net for them in order to win these games? Because I just can't see you going through the playoffs, and I can't see you Saturday night beating a team as good as Colorado if you don't have the big dog stepping up. I know it's been working for them now, but this is the number one thing that I'm still worried about, is production from the big guys and playing time for the big guys.
The thing that I find interesting about this is that just what you said. I mean, you are still winning games with those guys not playing. And really on a streak here and doing pretty well. You know, is it that the guys that were backups were better than we thought? Or maybe those guys that we thought were valuable weren't quite as valuable as we thought? Or, you know, where does that all stand?
Well, that's not a good look for David Poile if they're not as good as we thought they are, because they're all signed to infinity-length contracts.
Yeah, I don't know. But, it's kind of odd, you know, that you take some guy just out of nowhere and, you know, all of a sudden he's playing significant minutes and you're, you know, what's our record, 9-4-1 or whatever it is, I mean, over the last little bit. And in the playoffs right now, you know, so, I mean, it's, you know, it makes you wonder how good are, I mean, who are the good players? Are the good players just the guys that are playing? I mean, and the guys that, you know, I don't know, beats me. I mean, I'm my whole, you know, my whole background was bait, because it's like I tell you about NFL all the time. You know, you don't, you're. What people say about you is more important than anything else, because you don't know every guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like these guys. I don't know Duchene. You know, I never met him in my life. So I rely on hockey people. Say, oh, he is so good, man. He's going to be a big time forward. He's going to make a difference. He's going to, you know, and PK wasn't that big a deal. And, you know, we need to get it. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, okay, you know. Where is all that? And then the guys, well, this guy can't play and that guy can't play. And all of a sudden, those are the guys that are playing and we're still winning.
I mean, it's not a good
look. I don't know.
It's not. I mean, it's a weird feeling for David Poile to have signed all these guys to such big deals and have made such a big deal about them. And David even talked about his expectations. Yeah, I had high expectations entering the season. But your high expectations built upon Ryan Johansson sitting on the bench? Because that's what John Hines is doing. Now, it's working. But it's working against a depleted Columbus Blue Jackets team and, you know, this crap Ottawa Senators team.
Well, yeah. But
is it going to work next Saturday against
last week.
Against the Blues?
Yeah. I mean, two wins there, two big wins there.
Again, I just don't know if Hines, if that can keep up.
I agree. According to what everybody says, it shouldn't. I mean, you would have to question it at some point in time.
That's it for us. Preds Insiders next. Smashville Live after. Jared and the GM.